Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 15th, 2025. Today is Tuesday in Holy Week. This is a reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles were with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Here ends the reading. In 2 days, the church will observe Maundy Thursday, the day in which we commemorate the institution by Jesus of the Holy Eucharist. As I thought about what I might share in today's reflection, I remembered that one of the best reflections I have ever read about the centrality of the Eucharist to our faith as Christians was written in the early 1940s by an Anglican Benedictine monk and liturgical scholar, Gregory Dix. I hope you will find his reflection as meaningful as I have throughout my years of ordained ministry. Dix writes, "Was ever another command so obeyed? For century after century, spreading slowly to every continent and country, and among every race on earth, this action has been done in every conceivable human circumstance, for every conceivable human need, from infancy and before it to extreme old age and after it. From the pinnacle of earthly greatness to the refuge of fugitives in caves and dens of the earth. People have found no better thing than this to do for kings at their crowning and for criminals going to the scaffold, for armies in triumph, or for a bride and bridegroom in a little country church, for the proclamation of a dogma, or for a good crop of wheat, for the wisdom of a parliament of a mighty nation, or for a sick old woman afraid to die, for a schoolboy sitting for an examination, or for Columbus setting out on a voyage to America, for the famine of whole provinces, or for the soul of a dead lover, in thankfulness because my father did not die of pneumonia." One could fill many pages with the reasons why people have done this and not tell a hundredth part of them. And best of all, week by week and month by month, on 100,000 successive Sundays, faithfully, unfailingly, across all the parishes of Christendom, the pastors have done this just to make the holy common for the people of God. To those who know a little of Christian history, probably the most moving of all the reflections it brings is not the thought of the great events and the well-remembered saints, but of those innumerable millions of entirely obscure faithful men and women, everyone with his or her own individual hopes and fears and joys and sorrows and loves and sins and temptations and prayers, once every whit as vivid and alive as mine are now. They have left no slightest trace in the world, not even a name, but have passed to God utterly forgotten. Yet each one of them once believed and prayed as I believe and pray, and found it hard, and grew slack, and sinned, and repented, and fell again. Each of them worshipped at the Eucharist and found their thoughts wandering and tried again and felt heavy and unresponsive and yet knew, just as really and pathetically as I do, these things. There is a little ill-spelled, ill-carved, rustic epitaph of the 4th century from Asia Minor. It reads, "Here sleeps the blessed Kione, who has found Jerusalem, for she prayed much." Not another word is known of Kione, some peasant woman who lived in that vanished world of Christian Anatolia. But how lovely, if at all, that should survive after 16 centuries were that one had prayed much, so that the neighbors who saw all one's life were sure one must have found Jerusalem. What did the Sunday Eucharist in her village church every week for a life mean to blessed Kione and to millions like her then and every year since? The sheer stupendous quantity of the love of God which this ever-repeated action has drawn from the obscure Christian multitudes through the centuries is in itself an overwhelming thought. To which I can only add, thanks be to God. Let us pray. God our Father, whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a wonderful sacrament has left us a memorial of his passion, grant us so to venerate the sacred mysteries of his body and blood, that we may ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of his redemption, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.